get started here. Welcome, welcome. Good job making it out, everyone. Welcome to our Christmas Eve service. You braved the ice and the cold and the sub-zero temperatures, so we're really glad you're here. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Chris. I'm the pastor here. I thought we'd keep a little more down to earth today. That's why I'm down here on a stool, but I just realized that it swivels, so I might be weirdly swiveling throughout this service. So I apologize if I make anybody motion sick tonight. But welcome. This is our candlelight Christmas Eve service. So if you didn't get one when you walked in, feel free at some point during one of the songs to go out. There's candles at the welcome table. You can grab one of those. We'll use those at the end as we sing together. And this service is the culmination tonight and tomorrow morning of this Advent season of preparing and celebrating and remembering the arrival of Christ, our Savior. So as we prepare to celebrate that together through singing some songs, through lighting candles, through doing some readings, as we get started with that, we're just going to take a moment and just in the quiet of our own hearts, we're going to pray and prepare our hearts to worship Christ tonight. So please bow for a moment of silent prayer. The Lord says to the prophet Zephaniah, "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. A mighty one who will save, who will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." And gracious Father, we thank you that Christmas is a time for us to remember and rejoice in the fact that you are in our midst, that you humbled yourself in the person of your Son. You came to dwell with us, to be our Emmanuel, our Savior, God made man. So help us now as we praise you in response to this gift, in response to your humility, in response to your self-giving love in Christ. That it is through this humility, through this weakness, through the giving and the coming of your Son, that you are strong to save all who trust in you. So remind us of this, help us to rest in Christ and rejoice in him as we celebrate and remember his birth tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Please stand and sing with us.
Sinners.
Through this Advent season as a church, and part of what we've been doing with that is lighting the Advent wreath, lighting each candle for the last 4 weeks, just as a reminder of the light of the world, Jesus Christ coming into the world. So tonight we're going to light the final candle, but before we do that, let me read for us our scripture for tonight, Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah writes, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his oppressor, of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it, with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." And so we light this final candle, the Christ candle, is a reminder of Jesus Christ, the light of the world who's come in, that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and we worship him and praise him because he is the light of the world. That's why we have two right there. There we go. There we go. All right, please pray with me. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, for the promise that you have fulfilled, that the light has come into the world, that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, Lord. And even as we think of the darkness around us physically, the darkness of this hour of the day, the darkness of the world around us, the darkness in our own hearts, of our own sin and our own fallenness, Lord, remind us again anew of the light of the world, of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, who came to cast out all darkness to bring you to bring us into your light. So help us to praise you and rejoice in you now. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Please stand and sing with us again.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem,
remain standing, we're going to continue to worship by reading aloud together the Nicene Creed. This was a creed written by the early church as a way of affirming and teaching and remembering, in particular, the divinity of Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, fully God and fully man, that he took on human flesh. And so we'll read that now together to remind ourselves of what it means that the Son of God has come into the world, what we believe as Christians who celebrate Christmas together and who worship Christ for who he is and for what he's done in his coming. So let's read aloud together the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible. In one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's continue to praise him together in song. I invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you brought a Bible, to the book of Isaiah, to turn back once again to Isaiah chapter 9, the passage that we read for our Advent reading earlier, Isaiah 9 verses 1 through 7. And as you turn there, let me pray for us. Gracious Father, we thank you for tonight, the chance we've already had to praise you and remember the gift of your Son. Now as we turn to your word, Lord, illuminate it for our hearts and our minds. Help us to understand it. And show us in your word the light of Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to start tonight with a confession, and that is that I really enjoy looking at Christmas lights on people's houses. You know, people who decorate, do their houses up for Christmas, I really enjoy looking at it, but I am not very good at making that happen for my own house, right? I this time comes around every year, and I always have the thought, man, that's really pretty what that person across the street did. Maybe we should do something like that, and then I don't think about it again for 4 weeks, and then all of a sudden it's Christmas Eve, and I haven't done it, and it hasn't happened, and so I just admire other people's houses from afar, and my house remains dark on the street, except this year Laura got some lights and put some lights around one of the trees in our yard, so it looks kind of better, but maybe one of these years we'll really get it figured out. But I do love going around, driving around, taking our girls around and seeing, you know, the lights and all the different houses, the light in the square, the lights, the decorations that people put up. People around here in Medina, I've learned in our first Christmas here in Medina, people really do it up. People go crazy. It's really, really cool. I really like it. And I love this part of Christmas. I love this part of the year, that part of our communal celebration of Christmas is that we decide together that during the darkest time of the year, the time when it gets dark the earliest, when the sun stays out the shortest, when it's the coldest, we decide that during this darkest part of the year, part of our Christmas celebration involves putting lights on the outside of our houses to shine a little bit of light during a dark time. During a dark time. And as we turn to the book of Isaiah, to Isaiah chapter 9, we find a group of people, we find a community who were similarly looking for a light in a time of darkness. A light in a time of darkness. You see, Isaiah, he is one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. He was one of these guys that God sent to his people, the Israelites, to preach his word, to prophesy his word to them. And Isaiah was prophesying to the people of Israel during a time when they are struggling with foreign oppression, with fear of invasion, the threat of exile, of being conquered, with moral and spiritual corruption, with the consequences of their own sins, their own idolatry, their own rebellion against God. And so God, he uses the prophet Isaiah to go to his people, to preach to them, to prophesy to them that unless they turn from their sin and trust in God, then they will receive his judgment. They will be cast out from their homes. They will be conquered. They will be exiled. But God also promises in Isaiah that even if they experience a present judgment, a period of judgment, there is going to come a time when God is going to rescue and restore his people, when he's ultimately going to bring about their salvation, their restoration. God promises here in Isaiah 9 that he is ultimately going to turn their darkness to light. He's going to turn their gloom into joy. And he's going to do that through the birth of a perfect ruler who is God himself. He's going to turn their darkness to light. He's going to turn their gloom to joy. And he's going to do it through the birth of a perfect ruler who is also God himself. And we see this as we walk through the passage in verses 1 through 7. In verse 2, Isaiah declares that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. So he uses right away this imagery of light breaking through darkness, of light shining out of darkness, conquering it, casting it out. But Isaiah doesn't just use the language of light and darkness. He also talks about how joy will overflow out of gloom. He writes in verse 3, "You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil." So he says, darkness will turn to light, gloom will turn to joy. But how will this happen? How will God bring this reversal, this transformation, this hope about? Well, Isaiah tells us in verses 4 through 6, he says, "For the yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken is on the day of Midian." Isaiah is promising God's people that as he did in the past, God is once again going to rescue his people from their enemies. He's going to free them from their oppressors. He's going to end their oppression. And then in verse 5, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. He uses this visceral imagery here, right, of boots of tramping warriors, of garments rolled in blood being burned for the fire. He's saying that wars, that bloodshed, it's going to cease, that God is going to bring about peace. He's going to bring about an end to oppression, an end to warfare. Isaiah is promising that God will ultimately defeat his enemies, will ultimately bring all wars to cease. And then in verse 6, finally, Isaiah, he describes how this deliverance, how this peace, how this hope, this joy will be brought about. And it's really interesting, it's really striking as we read it from the context of the New Testament, in the context of remembering the birth of Christ. He says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He says, the reason that darkness will turn to light, the reason that gloom will turn to joy, the reason that all oppression and warfare will cease, that God's peace will break through, that God's light and joy will break through, is because a child will be born, because a son will be given. And this son will be a perfect ruler. He'll be a wonderful counselor. He'll be a mighty God. He'll be an everlasting father. This child will bear names that only God can bear, because this child is God himself. He says that this perfect ruler will come from the throne of David. He will come from the line of David, Israel's greatest king. But this king, he will have an everlasting kingdom. David eventually died, and his son Solomon took over the throne. And then after that, the kingdom was split in two. But this king will have an everlasting kingdom. He will fulfill God's promise to bring a perfect ruler, a perfect king, a restored eternal kingdom, where he will be their God and they will be his people. And the message of Christmas is that in the coming of Christ, this promise has been fulfilled, that God's light has broken into the darkness, that joy has come into a world of gloom, that this child has been born, this promised ruler has come into the world, to usher in God's kingdom, to bring God's eternal salvation and restoration. And we know this because hundreds of years after the time of Isaiah, hundreds of years in a field outside of Bethlehem, while shepherds were taking care of their flocks one night, an angel appeared to them and declared to them in Luke chapter 2, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." See, the people dwelling in great darkness have seen a great light. The angel comes to the shepherds at night. The heavenly host appears and declares to them, "Glory to God in the highest." In the midst of darkness, in the midst of the darkness of oppression, of failure, of sin, of rebellion, God made a promise to rescue and restore his broken people. And he came himself to fulfill that promise in the person of his son, in ultimate humility and weakness, taking the form of a baby, being born in Bethlehem in David's city, being laid in a manger in a stable. This is the story we remember. This is the truth we celebrate at Christmas, that the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. As the Apostle John wrote in his gospel, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Whatever darkness you're experiencing this year, whatever darkness you're experiencing personally, whatever darkness we're experiencing communally or culturally, whatever darkness we're experiencing in our lives, in our families, in our worlds, the message of Christmas is a declaration that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. That the people in Isaiah's day who were fearing oppression and destruction, people in our day who are dealing with loss and pain and rejection and doubt and fear and suffering, dealing with the consequences of our sin, the darkness of our sin in a fallen world, to us, this message too is declared in God's word that his light has come. For to us A child is born to us, a son is given. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The declaration of Christmas is that Jesus Christ is this light. The message of John 1 is that Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger, he is the Son of God, the light of the world. He is this promised child who's ushered in the fulfillment of God's promises, the establishment of God's kingdom. He is the one who is able to come and end all oppression, because he himself grew up and went to the cross where he was oppressed for us, where he was oppressed in our place. He comes and brings light into a world of darkness, because the light of his life was snuffed out by the darkness of our sin, where he experienced the wrath of God for us on the cross, and the sun stopped shining for 3 hours when he was on the cross. Jesus is able to come and bring joy out of our gloom, because he rose again out of the gloom of the grave and into the light of life. And so if we trust in him, he can bring us the joy, the light of knowing God, of having a relationship with God. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He sends his spirit, as we read in the creed, he sends his spirit to come and comfort his people, to comfort us and strengthen us. Jesus is God the Son. He is eternally one with his Father in heaven. He sits at his right hand. He rules on an eternal throne as the Prince of Peace, who brings us peace with God and who one day will bring true and eternal peace for all of his creation, who delivers us in his power from the domain of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of his light. And this gift, this declaration, this truth, this hope, this light, it comes to us through faith in Christ, by accepting and believing and resting on him as the promised one of Isaiah 9, who came to bring light out of darkness and joy out of gloom and restoration out of destruction. As John writes, to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. So as we celebrate Christmas, if we have trusted in Christ, then Christmas becomes a time for us to remember, to rejoice that no matter what darkness we are walking through, what darkness we are struggling with, that in Christ we see the birth of the one who has already accomplished our deliverance. We can rejoice and rest in the one who will one day return, who will one day carry out a second advent, who will one day come to cast out all darkness. So is this your hope? In the darkness of whatever you're going through, is this the light you're trusting in this Christmas season, the light of Christ himself? As you face the oppression of sin and temptation of your circumstances, of the challenges of your life, are you resting in the one who was oppressed for you, who came in humility and weakness to identify with the lowly, to give himself as a perfect sacrifice for our sins so that we could be brought into his light without guilt, without darkness, without blemish, without shame? Are you trusting in him? Are you confident that he has accomplished our deliverance, that he will one day cast out all darkness? Because we know that this is true, that this will happen, for Isaiah writes in verse 7, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, zeal, that's not a word we really use that much in the world today, but zeal, it's a word that just means commitment and eagerness. Somebody who's committed to do something, eager to do something. He says that the eagerness, the commitment, the faithfulness of the Lord will do this. So as you drive around this Christmas season, as you drive around your neighborhoods and see houses lit up with lights, see the square lit up with lights, see people who are eager, who are committed, who are even zealous to bring a little bit of light into a time of darkness, remember that God himself is eager, he is committed, he's even zealous to bring true light into the world, to bring a true light that floods all of our darkness with light. Because in the birth of his son, he has already done this. He has already carried this out, and so we can trust in him and rest in him and rejoice together that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, that those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And so we're going to celebrate that light now together as we sing our final song and as we light our candles. But before we do that, let me pray for us. Gracious Father, we thank you for the light of your word, that in your word we read and discover the darkness of our sin, the darkness and frailty in our own hearts and in our world. But we also discover the message, the hope that you sent your Son to cast out our darkness, to bring your light into your creation. So Lord, let this light illuminate our hearts, lead us to faith in Christ, to trust in the one who turns our darkness to light, who turns our gloom to joy, who frees us from the oppression that we deserve, who brings us into true peace, peace with you. Lord, so let this peace, let this joy, let this light mark not just how we celebrate Christmas, but how we live all year round, how we live our lives in gratitude, in thankfulness, in humility, in response to the light you have given us in Christ, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to stand now, and we're going to sing our final song together. And as we do so, if you grabbed a candle, we're going to light these candles together. So as we sing Silent Night, we'll pass the candles around. If you need to cross the aisle or go up to your neighbor, make sure you help spread the light around. I'll go around and help light the candles as well. Just a word of practicality for safety. The person, if you're getting your candle lit, the person whose candle is not lit should be the one to turn and get the flame from the other candle. Otherwise, you might be spilling hot wax on your neighbor, which isn't a very good Christmas present. We're going to lower the lights now. We're going to start lighting the candles, and we'll sing together Silent Night in celebration of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. So please sing with us. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. To those dwelling in the land of darkness, on them has light shone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Go in peace.